welcome to another episode of 40 Something. To our avid listeners, thank you for joining us once again for episode 11. Is that right, ladies?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, we've come very far from when we started, didn't we? Today's topic is going to be looking at marriage, and in the spirit of the top trending topic this week of Derek Jackson and his misleading ways. And we're going to try and talk about the importance of marriage and, you know, whether it's even deemed necessary in today's society. But before we start, I'd like the ladies to introduce themselves.
So hi, I'm Melissa.
Hello, I'm Michelle.
Hi, I'm Nina.
Hey guys, it's Tony.
And I'm Vanessa, one of your co-hosts today. Hannah is running late, so she will be joining us at some point. So when we stop and go, hi, because Hannah's just arrived. And Cherie, unfortunately, sends her apologies and she won't be able to make it.
Well, we've also got an eighth member now.
Yes, my other half just bought me some food. Isn't that
Hi. He actually said hi guys as well.
I know, he really did. He's part of 40 something, yeah? One of the older members. So today's discussion, we're going to be looking at marriage and whether the idea of marriage is something that for some has been planted in our brains, maybe since we were kids, possibly. Somewhere, somehow, we were taught about finding the one and finding the person who you thought you was going to spend the rest of your life with. Well, I don't know about all of that in today's society. Whether parents were able to accomplish that or not, so whether our parents were married or not, they most probably, and for some of us, would want that for our own children, to be fair. Children or loved ones, family members, you'd want to see them happy, wouldn't you? So maybe marriage is something that we've all thought about at some stage for other people. But in a perfect world, you're going to meet somebody and have a family and live happily ever after, so they say. But in some cases, it's not happened, and somewhere along the line, inner ideals may have adapted depending on the relationship that you are in. I.e. Derek Jackson, who says he's a marriage expert that cheats. Who knew? Cheated on his wife for 4 years.
I've always thought he was a bit of a weirdo. When I used to follow him before, I just think like he's just too, I don't know, I just found him a bit creepy and slimy. So I unfollowed him. Like I've never really listened to him and thought, yeah, it's true, you know, yeah. Like I've always just thought he was a bit weird.
So sorry, because I never heard of him until I saw all the stuff on Instagram and then kind of like picking up the pieces via all that stuff. So does he do like posts about relationships and all that kind of stuff?
Okay. So he does posts about men and their cheating ways. He does posts about if your man's not doing this, you should leave him.
He's talking about himself then.
Basically.
Right, okay.
So hold on, he was cheating for 4 years.
He was married for 4 years.
He was married for four years.
I think they were childhood sweethearts, from what I've read. I don't know the ins and outs, but
But who knows? He could have been cheating before. And this is the first time he got exposed.
Exactly. Mm.
Maybe that's why she's staying. Well, it looks like she's staying the wife, doesn't it?
Apparently there's more women coming out the woodwork, so.
See?
And someone told me today, don't quote me on this, but someone told me today that he preys on single mothers and women that have baby father issues. That's what I heard.
Okay.
So he's very manipulative, basically.
Mm-hmm. And he makes money out of his manipulation. How about that? People go and listen to him and say, you see that, Derek? Watch him. He knows what he's talking about. And they want to be cussing their husbands or their boyfriends about, and they say,
well, that's it. I saw something about getting compensation, so maybe I shouldn't watch it and be like,
if you ended a relationship, then you're entitled to compensation.
Yeah, you told me, I believed you.
Getting a refund on the books that they've bought.
Yeah.
Wow. It's true.
So ladies, do you guys think that marriage is outdated? Based on, obviously, the top trending topic, what do we think about it? Do we think it's necessary to have a marriage to feel more secure in a relationship, or is it fading out?
I think that depends where you are in your life and what kind of relationship you're in and whether you're married or not. Like, I'm sure people that are married are going to not say that it's dated, but I might say it's dated because I'm in my 40s and I think I'm just over it now. I can't imagine myself getting married personally.
Really?
Which is sad. Yeah.
You know, I might get on bended knee and ask you, are you going to say yes or you going to say no? Mind if it came down to it and the person, well, if we wanted to be with them and they asked us, I personally believe we would all be saying yes. What's wrong with a good old wedding?
Yeah, I think if you're thinking of like the romance of it, then it's a nice day to have. I don't know. What does anyone else think?
Well, we've got Mel and Michelle. They're both, one's married, one's engaged. So what's your opinions?
Well, I'm not married yet.
But you're one step closer than I am. Just
so. And five step closer than I am.
I think I wasn't really bothered about it before. But I think now that obviously I'm engaged, then yeah, I think it's about finding the right person, because I was engaged before. I'm not some serial engaged person like likes to go around getting engaged, but with my children's fault.
Like engagement, say Mel.
Right, but not getting married. But yeah, so I was engaged before to my children's father, and I got to the point where I had to kind of think, well, I don't think I could marry him. I couldn't see me being with him for the rest of my life. So I broke it off. And then obviously when we split up, I just thought my marriage is just not for me, until I met my current partner. And he just showed me something different, you know, security and just, you know, someone that's got your back. I think marriage, I guess, is for me at some point when we do decide, you know.
Yeah, it's taking a while.
We had to secure the house first.
Yeah, and COVID set you back, right? COVID set you back.
COVID.
All that stuff. Good old wedding.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? We could have got married and not have the house. So we kind of wanted to get our priorities right and secure the house together and then get married.
Okay. Michelle, what's your perception on marriage?
So I am married. Thank you, my dear. I'm married. I don't think marriage is outdated, but I think people are disillusioned as to what marriage is really about. You know, marriage, some people think it's the same as a relationship. For some it is, for some it isn't. And you can develop, I know I certainly did, this kind of subconscious kind of expectation. Like, now that we're married, you must, and I expect, and I didn't even realize I was doing it, which made it, you know, it changed the dynamics of things. So for example, when you're not married to someone and they're going out for the night and you're like, oh, what time you'll be back, and they're like, I'm not sure, all right, cool, whatever, when you're married and your other half's going out and you're like, what time are you going to be back? And he's like, I don't know. You're like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, you're a married man. What are you doing out all night? You know? So it's an interesting one. I don't think it's outdated, but I think the value on marriage has changed over the years. And like the earlier point you made in terms of, is it a generational thing? Possibly. Role models, yes. Media, yes. But again, it's like about, as Mel said, what you get shown from that person. And whether you feel you can do it for the rest of your life. It isn't just about romance. It's actually a partnership. It's not always nice, but you know there's a value in it, and you know that underneath all of the everyday kind of, you know, things that are thrown at you, that you know that you're solid and you can, you know, like Mel said, again, someone that has your back, you have their back. No one's perfect out here, but you roll with it.
So in terms of a relationship that would gradually move on to a marriage, what foundations do we think is necessary? And I know you touched base on some of those, Michelle, but for those of us that aren't married in this group, what foundations do we think is necessary within a relationship for a marriage to work? I think that a communication, and I know it's an age-old thing we say, and everyone says,
you got to important. No,
it's key.
But it's very the way key. You communicate, and I think the understanding of the person you've met, you know, over time you change, they say you grow together. I think other stars, I won't mention a name, say, you know, you have to have a level of independence apart in order for that relationship to work. And when I say apart, not work apart, but have your own goals, your own destinations. You don't live your life for the person you're in a relationship with. You should naturally come together. You should be able to understand the expectations that you have for your partner should be based on a realism of what your partner can present and provide you. And if it becomes an issue, isn't that when you think to yourself, I've either made a mistake or I should accept how that person is because I met them like that, and I shouldn't really hold them to a higher ideal? Because I think sometimes in a relationship you can do that and then things become a bit marred. And when you're married, you definitely just can't just leave, you know. So I think the foundations of the communication and having realistic expectations from one another and understanding what your partner's limitations are key. What do you guys think?
Elizabeth Taylor left. She left 7, 8, 9 times.
She's a hot foot. She couldn't keep herself still.
I think if you take the title of marriage away, is that not just relationships in general? Like you need to have communication, you need to have understanding, you need to have your own sort of independence, but at the same time, you know, co-work together in certain situations and be able to have each other's back, etc. That is the foundations of a relationship, period. So when you have those, I think that marriage, I don't know, I have a different view on marriage, to me anyway, personally.
Let's hear it.
Yes. Well, I don't know, maybe because I never was that little girl that stood in the mirror in a wedding, you know, pretended to be in a wedding dress and really wanted to get married. That was never my thing. My parents got married when I was 14. Yeah, 14. But they had been together for years before I was even born. And I guess that was a natural stage of their relationship. They were together from time, you know, they got a house together, they obviously had me, they had their foundations, and I guess marriage was just the next thing just to do. Equally, I know that there's another couple that were together for over 20 odd years, and something happened in their family, and they found out that when somebody wasn't married, it was very difficult for them to, especially there was a death, and when that person went to go and get paperwork and stuff like that, they were unable to do certain things because they weren't married, and it fell to the children to deal with the situation, not the partner who had been there with them for years. And so I just look at marriage as it's something that completes the relationship. But if you're living together naturally, why does a piece of paper have to come into play? I just see it as it's like a sealing the deal at the end of when you've been together, but not necessarily something that I think I would need to do beforehand. I mean, in my situation now, as I stand now, everyone says, oh, you've got one child, why don't you have more children? It's a bit late now, I think, anyway. But if I was, I wouldn't be doing it unless I was married. And the reason being is because I'm already doing this all on my own anyway. And I feel like I want to try something like going to the next step in a relationship and try the whole marriage thing. I just feel that you wouldn't be able to kind of walk away from things too easily. You have to really put effort in and really work at something.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I just have a different perception on it, I guess.
Or maybe so your perception. So that I understand where you were coming from, perception now on marriage is you would do it to try it because you didn't have that relationship before where you had the marriage, but you would try it now. Or is it?
I just feel like
it would be something you'd want to do with a new partner if that's the direction it would go into. So you'd believe that marriage can still happen.
I think so. I just think it doesn't, like, it's not, to me, it's not the be all end all.
Yeah.
But in relation to having children, perhaps I would feel like, to me, in that respect, I would want to do it that way. I would want to be in something that's secure, really have that foundation beforehand, and then possibly then go into marriage. Have marriage first, sorry, before I have another child. I don't know. It's weird. I have a weird sense of how I look at it in my head. That it's hard to...
To what? Sorry.
No, sorry. I was reading something, so it made me lose my train of thought. I don't know.
I think I get what you mean, T. I mean, like, you know, you spoke to the functional aspect of marriage in terms of what happened to those people you knew.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, where you've been with someone for such a long period of time, and then when one of the party, let's say, is no longer here, you've got no rights. You can't, you know, you meet all this red tape, and not only just the whole kind of red tape in terms of access to certain functional things, you've also got the red tape of that person's family, their children, potentially, depending on what that relationship was, or in terms of, like, whether it's a blended family, you know, a nuclear family, whatever the arrangement is, you know. I mean, I've seen it whereby couples have been together 30, 40 years, and when one person passes away, their kids from their first marriage or previous relationship come and say, you ain't entitled to Jack. You're not married to him, or you're not married to her. This is our dad's or mum's or whatever. So there is a functional aspect. There's also, as you say, you've done child raising as a single parent. And if you're going to do it again, you're going to do it with a commitment from someone. And if that commitment is marriage.
I think, okay, so what I'm trying to say is that maybe my perception of it has changed. So when I was younger, or when I was first in a relationship, it just wasn't even a thought or a consideration, because I've seen my parents do it and have a really good relationship without being married. So to me, it wasn't a factor. But I guess as I'm getting older and taking those other factors, I've seen someone go through a situation where they had no rights, they had no human, like you said. I think that if I was going into anything now, at this age, it would have to be with some kind of surety or security. Not marriage is not a surety, but it makes you work at things. I think it makes you work at things a lot harder. I don't think it's, you made a joke about Elizabeth Taylor, but I think that it makes it a bit harder to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. It does hold you to a higher standard in your partnership, doesn't it? In the marriage, because you've made that commitment, and it's not that easy to walk away, because if you do decide that's something you want to do in relation to separating, there's a whole raft of things that are included in that process. But it's the same as if you're in a relationship and you're tied in financially as well. Very similar. The difference is you just know you don't have to go to certain degrees of paperwork because you're not married. But then you've got the whole common law thing, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
How that works. I'm not sure how that works. I haven't really looked into it. I'm not married, and I keep telling my other half, I don't know about not having the same surname as my child. So... I wasn't raised that way, so, you know, people got to have the same surname at some
point. How does he feel about that?
He says, I want to get married too. And I'm like, okay, but it's not happening, is it?
Time is ticking.
It sounds, when you said it like that, it sounds like, I want to go to Hawaii. The way you said it.
it's like, you know, he says he wants to get married, but you've not asked me, so I don't know what it is that's holding.
Why don't you ask him then?
I was just about to say, are we all traditionalists here?
I'm traditional. I want it to be on bended knee. I want my rose petals. I want the champagne on the side. I want a romantic setting. Please note this
time. I never got that.
So Vanessa,
I know it's not going to happen that way, is it? It's going to be a surprise.
That was so ghetto.
Do you know what, Mel? I want to hear what Mel's was like. Come tell me, Mel. Tell us.
Well, so it was New Year's Eve. We went out. We came back home, we were both really quite tipsy, and he was like, oh, you know, I love you and all that kind of nonsense. And then all that malarkey, you know,
all that
when
rubbish.
You're drunk and all that kind of stuff. And then he was just like, yeah, let's get married. I want to marry you. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you need to, like, I need a ring. And then he went in the wardrobe, got out a ring, and he was like, yeah.
He had the ring from before.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's nice. I thought you were going to say, like, oh, I'll give you the ring another day.
No. Hold on. Yeah, in his bedroom.
Listen.
Yeah,
I can beat that.
He was drunk.
I can beat that. I got proposed to in the kitchen.
What?
In the kitchen?
Yeah, in a kitchen. I think it was Christmas Day when I was cooking Christmas dinner.
Oh, gosh, yes, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got proposed to whilst you're cooking dinner for hot
Christmas stuff. Dinner, yeah.
Wiping the sweat from her brow,
right, exactly.
You know, opening that oven door, that heat hitting you.
That dinner must have looked good.
And that's when I knew it weren't going to work. It wasn't going to work.
Oh, wow. Because he just wasn't romantic enough.
He was, his proposal. No, just him in general. I think I said yes, just to, you don't want, like, it was a bit cringy. I didn't want to say no, but in my head I felt like no. I think I remember phoning Tony once. Tony was like, I don't know if you remember Tony.
Go on.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? And I was just like, she was like, what's wrong? And I was just like, I just wasn't feeling it. I just knew. It wasn't going to be. You know.
Why do I always know these things?
You plod along, you get on with it. You smile, you grin, you look at your ring and think, oh, that's disgusting. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's how I felt about my first.
Wow.
I mean, the thought had gone into it because he bought me like a ruby with little diamonds around it. And a ruby apparently is my
birthstone.
Yeah.
But so how did you get out of it then?
Oh, we broke up. He cheated. Of course he cheated.
Can I
ask you a question?
Yeah, I did. I sold it for 30 quid.
No.
Swear to God.
Oh, I didn't know you got 30 quid for it. Oh, wow.
Was it not a real ruby?
It was, but the man said that, like, the diamonds were so small, like it was a vintage ring as well. It wasn't worth anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's normally the weight in the actual the metal, whether it's gold or silver,
isn't
it?
It was like 9-carat gold. Yeah.
Wow, I do apologize. But if you've ever been cheated on, do you think that has also caused for you to have a different perception on marriage?
No, you still
think that there's hope that somebody else will come along and you wouldn't have trust issues, you'll be fine?
Yeah, it's nothing about the trust issues. To me, it's more stability, and it sounds really formal, but I'd say financial stability than the romance of it. I mean, and I'm saying it from my age, if I was 20, early 20s, early 30s, it might be like, oh, but we love each other, it doesn't matter. But now I just think you've got to be sensible about things.
Yeah, you're not gonna say at 40 something, are you, it's okay if we live in a studio flat together with our three children, are you?
Yeah.
When you're 20 something, you're like, we'll make it work, we're going to do all of this there. As you're older, you're like, well, actually, I know I can do me, what can you do?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
That's true. Being open and transparent, financial situations can destroy a relationship, a marriage, so you need to be on point. To be honest, especially when you start going down the road of you wanting to get a mortgage and stuff like that, and then if your partner's not financially stable, you can look at them a little bit differently, and it can impact on the future. But then at the same time, you can help the person grow increase their credit score, do what they need to do for you.
Do you not find that women are always doing that? They're always helping the other one.
Men do that too.
Men
do it too. Okay. Men do it too. So it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing.
We grow together. So it's about if you see the potential and the person knows they can get there and you can help them get there, then why not?
You mean before you get married, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
But
then when you're our age, Vanessa, you haven't got time. Where's the time to do that? When you're 30s, maybe, but okay.
So what is the perception of marriage at our age then?
Oh,
in our age group now, 40 plus, what do you think? Do you think that we just kind of let it go and accept things for how they are?
Don't think so at all. I think marriage is obviously about, you know, love, but there are a lot more things that you factor in terms of what we've already said: communication, security, loyalty, financial standing. It's about your, you know, your engagement and how you move together through life. Do you get what I mean? You value that more, and you want someone to be on the same page as you. You want somebody to know you when you're all dolled up, know you when, you know, you can't be asked to get out of bed or you're not feeling 100%, you know, knowing that if you had to stop for a day, that person could take up whatever it is you do and keep going, just like you would do for them.
Yeah, that is key, because you don't want to be stuck with nobody married and the man can't do nothing for you and you're laying up sick and they can't even make you a little sandwich and bring it to you. You to keep completely serious. The person needs to be able to hold their own when
yeah, but I think that comes down to the person and what and just how they are generally. Do you get what I mean? Yeah.
I don't mean just about bringing you food, hun. I mean, if you lose your job, the other person can hold the fort.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what, when you're old and you can't get up out the chair, the person can help you and go and do the shopping. And
what if you've got period pains and you need a hot water bottle? How about that?
This sounds like a different conversation now.
I think it is.
I wouldn't hold that against the person, you know.
Oh, you wouldn't, no?
So do you think it's...
You wouldn't.
Has it been a water bottle?
No, forget the water bottle. But what if you felt like you wasn't getting the attention at home when you've had nausea from when you was early stages of pregnancy and you turn up at someone else's house because you need ginger tea? You don't get it, yeah?
The hormonal, isn't it? So you could be not to downplay it, but you could be blowing things out of proportion. As many times Tony's had to rein me in also and be like, come on now, you need to sort it out. So yeah. When a man, listen, you lot know my
partner. I'm the guru, but I'm not gonna write a book about it and
you might have to do some refunds,
eh? Yeah, I don't want to be responsible.
He don't do sick. So I have to accept that very early on.
Okay.
But do a lot of other stuff.
He just bought you food, please.
Yeah, I know. And he's DIY. He can do a little something around the house. Do you know what I mean? So I give him his flowers when they're due, but don't worry, you know, I'll cuss him when I'm ready.
And you're not even married?
No. Maybe that's
like a marriage. It does sound like a marriage.
We'll keep it the way it is right now, you know?
So do you guys think it's possible that the person, I can't attest to this in any way, but do you think it's possible that for some people, the person they're dating becomes a complete different person after marriage?
I don't know if that would happen, but I can believe it happening.
Because I think that when we talk about, you know, in a marriage, if someone isn't giving and doing this or doing that or what have you, were they doing it before? Because if they weren't doing it before, did you think a day of bliss and a piece of paper would mean that they would start doing all the things that they weren't doing before?
Well, that's what I was saying about expectations earlier. When you decide that, okay, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, you know what's coming with that, and don't try and pretend like they don't exist. And if you know what's coming, you should be, not, I'm not saying you should accept bad behavior, But if you know your partner's just not up to doing certain things, sometimes you're just going to have to just let it go. Otherwise, it will define how the relationship will be rather than trying to find a middle ground and being happy. Yes, Nee?
But if those things are important to you, those little things...
Then you wouldn't get married then, would you?
Yeah. Would you compromise?
You wouldn't even stay in the relationship.
But you also, you shouldn't really get comfortable once you're married.
No.
That's true.
That's why I said in the beginning, you should both have your own aspirations, your own goals. You shouldn't look to the other person to improve you as you. You'd always try to
compliment each other.
Yourself, not try to get caught up as in, when you're married, I am Mrs. So-and-so. Define who you are and try to maintain that and keep that. Some people can get lost in a marriage. And then if it don't work out, they're like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. You have to still remain that, have that level of independence whilst you're married. Otherwise, or even in a relationship, you can get...
Yeah, that's what I'm just going to say. Yeah. I think it's the same. I don't know, maybe we'd need to see what comments we get and from more married women and you know, we'd be able to have more of a kind of all-rounded conversation in relation to that, because, to know, I just think it kind of goes part and part. Like, some people probably have been through bad relationships, maybe all their life, or all, you know, through their time, and then they go and then they meet someone, don't even think about marriage, and this person shows them, like you were saying, something completely different, and you know, they get married and they're on that, you know, this whirlwind marriage, because it's that, because that's the person for them, and it's all different. You know, they might have had kids before already and they're just in a different stage of their life, so there's all different reasons or ways of how a marriage will come about. I think we're looking at it from a perspective that the majority of us have not been married, so we're looking at it from what we might think it is.
Yes, yeah.
Michelle's got her reason and you're engaged, so I guess it's a bit different. I don't know.
So what do we think about you know, marriages that come from our faith, in terms of, is there a religious aspect to marriage, and also are the different cultures, because you know, the way, you know, certain groups of people view marriage and how marriage is done is very different. Do we think those are successful marriages? Do we think it's alien to us? Do we think that, you know, like for me, I'm a Christian, so marriage is important to me. I'm not saying that, you know, I waited for marriage before I, you know, embarked on any type of relationship, but I do think that it does play a very big part in when I want to put my hands around my husband's neck and keep squeezing. Yeah. Yeah.
In what way?
Oh, Mel. That sounds like a normal night for Mel.
Well, someone in our previous podcast said that that's what they do, so I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's someone else.
Yeah. They love it. No, you're right. I think religion and culture plays a huge factor in marriages. And I think sometimes if you lose, not if you lose, but if that sense of, I'd say, spirituality or belief or faith isn't there, there could be also a disconnect as to why marriage is important in a relationship and why you're making that commitment. We get lost in the ideals of it. You know, you got your big weddings and your dress and your honeymoon and all of those things, but we forget that realistically we are making a huge commitment to one another. And some people base the commitment factor more so on, well, we've got kids and we've got a house, so why do we need to? And then you think to yourself, well, some people, like myself, and honest truth is I feel that you can, if two people want to, they can achieve a next level in their relationship, and that being marriage. I find that quite important foundation to have. It cements to me your relationship and who you are to one another, because you're making that commitment to a higher power. I'm not going to get all religious, because that will take us down another path, But that's from my perspective. I think it's quite a sacred thing and a very important thing, marriage, and it's not to be taken
lightly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, divorce is so easy to do, and a lot of people maybe aren't afraid of the losses from a divorce, and will be serial, what would you call them? You can't call them serial daters, but serial married people who like to get married. People
bigamists, like... are they big? No.
No, you get married.
What's the word? Oh, Hannah's going to kill me for this. What's the word when you get married so many times? When you commit bigamy? No.
No, that's if you get married to... If you're married already and you get married.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But, you know, I don't know what the word would be.
You know, like J-Lo, you know, it's not her fault. She's just not finding the one, is she, really?
Why, she divorced again?
Well, she did that. They got engaged. I think he's cheated.
Oh, really? Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Sorry, allegedly. Before. You don't want to get sued. Allegedly.
Apparently I read something that they're working on it. So I'm working on the relationship. So I have no idea as to why, but I think that definitely now people don't. Well, I would perceive that some people in the celebrity world, marriage is a bit disposable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the idea of it. It's like the reality TV shows. You get like the big wedding. You have this, that, the other, and then you know,
and not realize
a year later.
It's hard work.
It's splitting up. Yeah, it's work. Yeah. It takes work. Like any relationship takes work. Ring or no ring.
And I think sometimes people, not everyone, but you know, it's so easy to kind of be like, oh, I'm over this, and not really kind of put in the work. Because it's not easy.
No, it's not. And you're right. Ring or no ring, a relationship does take work. And I think that's the value that people seem to lose sight of. And then there seems to be, I think, in the Caribbean community, I don't know, you don't get that many marriages amongst our age group, to be fair. If you look at within the African and the Asian community, they will still be, that could be a cultural thing in terms of how they look at marriage, and you should be married by a certain age and you need to be children.
Yeah, it's culture. Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing, Vanessa.
But there's definitely a correlation there, isn't there, between different sets of cultures and marriage.
It's funny that, because obviously it's come around full circle, because like if you think about back in the Caribbean, you know, someone not being married was a big deal. And if you had children before you were married, it was a big deal. You know, back in probably our grandparents' time, etc. So it's kind of moved away from that. I wonder why. Maybe it's still there, I guess, amongst some, but
I feel like the younger generation are getting married a lot. And
are they?
Yeah, I think
maybe African, but I don't know about Caribbean.
Yeah, I don't know whether there's a disconnect even within our own community. Why that is? I don't know if we've lost that sense of, you know, even though, we have family, but I don't know if we've lost that sense of family unification.
But do you think that it might be, because a friend of mine, her parents were obviously married forever, and they didn't have the best marriage. They actually slept in separate bedrooms, and they stayed together because of the children. Yeah. Once the children were older and, you know, went off and left the home, they broke up because they only stayed together because of the children. And because of that, she was like, I'll never get married, because she didn't see a great union within her parents.
Mm. Go on, Nina.
Well, I was going to say something else, because I've spoken to a couple of guys today about why they're not married. But just picking up on what Mel said, you brought a memory to me about my ex again, this wonderful guy. And after he cheated, and he couldn't understand why I couldn't be with him, or I didn't want to stay with him, he was like telling me that his grandmother had been married to his grandfather for so many years, and they slept in different rooms, and you know, a woman's got to do what she's got to do, and you know, they just do it for the kids, and you've just got to stay with me because that's what you do. And I was just shocked. But he was saying that it's like an old kind of West Indian way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Stay with your man, no matter what.
Definitely. I think a lot of them did that.
I've definitely seen it. You know, we used to, when we were younger kids, we used to visit relatives and, you know, and it was the older generation who were married. They stayed together. They slept in separate rooms. But there was always this kind of irritation of each other and, you know, chips in at each other, like, you know, and all of this and cooking food for one and not the other, or cooking and saying he can dish out his own food. And they weren't happy, you know, but they were, it was like being in a habit.
It's functional.
Yeah. And then even when the children had left home, they weren't going to leave each other because they're scared of the unknown, one. And two, they felt if they sold the house, there's not enough money for them to get something else separately. This, all of these other functional things creep in. You know, it's,
Are we under the illusion that you only spend, well, it doesn't come across like we are, but you only really do spend the rest of your life with somebody if you're married? Or have we dispelled that illusion and we think you don't have to spend the rest of your life with somebody because you're married? Because we don't have to. We're not scared anymore to have to stay in a relationship for the sake of the kids or for the sake of, you know, monetary value.
I don't know, because I think we're going to be the trendsetters on this one. If you see older people, it's, you know, their marriages have either lasted, or if they haven't lasted, it's normally because one's passed away, they've met a new life partner or what have you. So I guess we're the ones who are going to be demonstrating what it looks like and passing that on, because it all starts at home. Like Tony said, she saw the relationship her parents had, and there was many years not being married, but that didn't even matter. Do you get what I mean? They might as well have been, if you look at what people kind of like idealize what marriage is. They had that, you know, without the paper. So I guess we're going to be the ones who show what that looks like.
You are going to be, and maybe Mel.
Okay, then.
But this is what I wondered. Like, I sat there today before we did that, and I just thought about my friendship group. I'm like,
how many
married?
Do you know?
So one
that are close to you that are not family.
Two.
Yeah, two.
Yeah.
How many do you guys know?
I've got two.
I'm still counting, because I'm trying to think, like, you know, it's like I want to get my finger out and say, do it, so and so and so and so, so and so and so and so, so and so. I'd say around the five mark.
In my direct circle, because I went to a lot of weddings at one point, but they were all my work colleagues that I went to. And only one wedding I went to that I knew the person, a family friend, and then they literally got divorced not even a year later. So I was asking for a refund on my ticket because I had to go abroad for that one. I actually wasn't going, and they were like, no, please come, and then you go and get divorced. You make me go and spend up my money for you to go and get divorced. That made no sense. Why did you get married in the first place? Anyhow, that's not my business. Let me not talk about somebody else's marriage. But in my immediate group of friends,
silence says it all.
That's it.
I'm waiting for her to say something.
You know what? I had to
pause, because I was thinking in my head, in my immediate circle of friends, the only person I know, see, person singular, that's married is Michelle. And I'm just waiting.
Wow.
So, I mean, in close circle, we all know somebody else. My friend's cousin, I'm not going to say his name. He had a 40th birthday party a few years ago. He's married. I just thought of him, so that's another person that I know.
See, it's not many, is it?
It's not a lot.
No, it's...
And how many couples do you know that aren't married cohabitating?
And are happily doing it? Many.
Happily doing it. Mm. That's another question.
Well, yeah, you're gonna have your ups and downs.
Yeah.
Fairy tale. Got a Disney relationship. Boy.
I need to be more positive, don't I?
Yeah.
And she says it with that tone.
Well, because I just want to tell you what. Well, I was speaking to a couple of guys today and asking them why they're not married. for this topic, because I just sat there and thought, like, there's not enough people married around me. And it was interesting that they all said different things, but they all said one thing that was the same, and that was to do with some sort of abandonment in their childhood, or the way they were brought up and not having that kind of family unit.
Interesting.
So that was the main thing that they said. Mm. One of the guys was just like, he's never met anybody that he's so in love with that he wants to get on one knee.
Wow.
Another guy was really honest and said he's very selfish. And there was a lot of, I don't know. There was a lot of that, like, they don't know themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be very hard for them to know if they're going to meet somebody that they really want to settle down with when they have a lot of past trauma, I would say, that could impede on them making that decision wholeheartedly. Mm. So they may have met someone, but because of what they've gone through, they can't get past it to allow themselves to see the person in a different light, to think, actually, I do want to settle down with you. I do want to get married. Because I'm not being funny. If you're in a relationship with somebody, you want to get married, and that person don't want to get married, that's a hard knock to take, you know, especially if you can that person, but a person's like, no, I'm not ready. And you're like, but why? It can become quite personal. But I've never really thought about, well, what happened in your past or in your childhood that may have affected you, that make you think, that's just not something that's for me. Doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because as Tony demonstrated, her parents were together for a very long time before they got married. And so for Tony, it wasn't like, oh, I must get married.
And then the other side of the point about becoming a single parent, because that was something that was really hard for me to do, because I come from a family that everyone is still with the same person who they've been with from the beginning of time. So to be the one that doesn't have that. It was like, my God, like, that's going to be shame, that's embarrassment, that's whatever, you know. And I really, really tried to make it work for the fear of being, you know, becoming this single parent. So I guess I viewed that in the same kind of idea as marriage, didn't it? Because that's what I saw. I saw couples together, from my grandparents to my godparents to my parents to, you know, I've seen couples together from a really young age, the ages of 18, 19, and still together now to this day. Do you know what I mean? So I think that, for me, take the piece of paper out of it, it's still the kind of like the same thing.
But the men in those days were a little bit different though, isn't it? Not to.
I don't know. If you ask my mum, I'm sure she'll say something. No, different in relation to certain things. Just get to my dad, do whatever. I just think it's different. I don't know.
But do you think that most, you know, when you're in a relationship and you're not married yet, like, do you think it's that you're just comfortable just being in that relationship and you just think, well, what's the point in changing it and getting married?
Or the woman?
The man, mainly. Well, but I guess both.
But I just think if I look at the people who have been in relationships from the beginning of time and how they are, it's just like, I just don't see them without that other person. But that's just me looking at them. I guess I'm not in their marriage or relationship.
I know someone that's been with her partner for, over 30 years. Mm. And they're not married.
And has she ever sort of said, oh, he's not proposed to me, or, oh, I really...
Yeah, she said, I think when she was sort of in her, you know, late 20s, early 30s, she wanted to get married. And I think that's when she had children and she wanted to get married, but it just never happened. And
the thing is, the men have all the control. Unless you're, like Michelle said, are we willing to propose? Basically, we leave it in their hands, don't we? Because if Vanessa had her way, she'd be married now. So you would have proposed to your partner.
They'd have got on one knee, yes.
Exactly. So we are, in effect, kind of giving them all the control.
Mm.
Is that because we're idealists, and also because men deal with knockbacks better than women? Or so we would like to think, because what you said earlier about abandonment issues, all these other things that creep in, men get knocked back all the time. They're in the club. They ask you for a dance. You say no. You know what I mean? They ask you if you want to go out sometime. You say no. Man says, excuse me, in the street. You look at him up and down and continue walking. Man's constantly getting slapped in the face. Now, if that happened to a female, we'd be like, oh, shame, shame. And you'd feel it, you know. And I'm sure men feel it as well. But I think if a woman proposed to a man, it would, and he said, and he kind of hesitated, or it wasn't like a yes straight away, that's going to be like an issue for forever.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if I did ask and he actually hesitated? Strike me down. I don't think he'd live another day, you know?
No, Vanessa would wake up the next morning and say, I've packed a bag for you. You need to go. I need my space. I need my time. I don't understand what happened. No, and I can see that, you know.
But do you think though, when someone comes to be it male or female, if they was to propose, that they kind of have an inkling that the person's going to say yes? Do you think that men will just do it on a whim?
I think they know that you're going to say
most. Yeah, no,
I mean,
exactly.
Like I said, yes, even though I do want to say yes.
That's because women are kinder and nicer and always thinking about the other person's feelings, you know. I think
if they're going to ask you, they're going to, you know, they might have asked you questions before or asked that, they're going to have an inkling that the idea that you're going to say yes. So I think in that knockback situation, it would be like if it was in the first year of you being together, I think that would be a bit premature, but
Are you saying ask?
No, don't ask. I'll tell you a little story. So
she said
are you saying I shouldn't ask?
No, don't.
I'm gonna tell you a little story that happened to me. So before my husband proposed to me, so he proposed in the February, Christmas before that, Christmas Day, he gave me my Christmas present. And I'm not sure, Neen, if you remember this story. You do?
I do.
And so, like, we're there, and it's before we were going over to my mom's, and I unwrapped this kind of, like, nice bag, and this nice kind of, like, there was a jewelry box and it had ribbons, and I opened it up and there was a diamond ring, and I started crying, and I was so and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, are you serious? It's like, yeah, I bought it. Like, and I was like, it's a diamond. And I was getting so worked up and emotional. He was looking at me like I was mad, and then I said, say something. And he said, Merry Christmas. And I said, no, say it properly, say what you've got. And he was looking at me blanked face, and then he said, babe, what are you talking about? What's wrong with you? And I said,
that's so wrong.
And I said, you know what this is? And he said, yeah, it's a ring, it's a diamond ring. I said, do you know what kind of ring this is? And he said, yeah, a diamond ring. I said, no, do you know what kind of ring this is? I said, why did you buy me this ring? Because now I'm like, and I can feel the heat going through my body, and I'm like,
getting vexed now.
Oh, I'm like, I'm getting confused. Like, and he said, I went into the jewelers and I said to the lady, I want to get my girlfriend a special Christmas present. I said, and she helped you choose this ring. And he said, yeah. I said, babe, it's an engagement ring. And he went, oh. I had to get up and go and say, excuse me, and go into the bathroom. And I cried with shame because I'd embarrassed myself. So that was my rejection. I was so embarrassed that I was so excited. And so, and he was looking at me like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, wow. You know?
So then when my actual proposal came in February, and we were abroad on holiday, and he basically, I was really peed with him that day because we'd been walking around all day and all I wanted to do was get back to the hotel. And he was like, oh, but I really want to go to this castle. And I'm like, but you told me you've been to this castle 4 times. Why are we going to this, you know, castle? And then I had to tell myself, Michelle, don't be mean. If the man wants to see the castle, man, let him see the castle. We get to the castle, we're walking around. And then he said, you dropped something. And I said, no, I didn't. And then basically, I don't know how it happened, but I looked down and he said, you dropped something. And I'm looking. And when I turned round to him, he was on one knee. Aww. And he had a box ring open. And what should have been the nicest and loveliest moment wasn't, in case I got it wrong again. Yeah. That's how I felt. Yeah. It was all kind of, I was like, what? You know.
All right, but he's on the knee.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it was only 2 months. It was like 6 weeks after Christmas. And then I was like, what are you doing? Get up. Get up. Because you'd already shamed me once. You had my excitement. That same excitement weren't coming in that instance. You know, it was just so, I don't know. So yeah, don't do it. I mean, I didn't even do it. I just made the wrong assumption.
I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the embarrassment if you said, I'm not ready. I couldn't take it.
I think you'd start cussing.
I would.
You'd be like,
what do you mean you're not ready? Because I'll be like, hold on a minute.
But I just would say the fact that he hasn't asked you, it shows that he's not ready. I would
literally, I don't know, I think I'd be beside myself, because I'd be like, I cannot believe I've asked and he's gone, no.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I don't think he'd say no. He wouldn't say no, but he might do the pause.
That's more than enough of a no, isn't it? The pause is more than enough of a no.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pause says so many things. Oh, shit, how do I get out of this one? How do I make it sound all right so that she's not feeling X, Y, and Z?
Oh, but it could be just shock. It could be, let's not be...
He might be thinking, what? She pulled this off. You know, like, what's going on?
Like, she's proposing to me. Oh, shit, I was going to do that. Oh, it took too long. Could be
In my head, if there's any form of hesitation, I'd be like, really? You're quite happy to invest financially with me. Let's really think about it here. We're financially invested. We have a ute. That's a lot. So I would be quite...
Yeah, you're tired already, isn't it? There's a marriage right there.
No, there's such a thing called progressive marriage. I don't know if you guys know this, where you actively both agree that you're going to spend some time apart to keep the marriage going. I don't know if anybody's heard about this, but some people find that quite a good way to keep a marriage solid. What do you guys think about that?
Well, that reminds me of Sex in the City. That's like Sex in the City, isn't it? When they had their separate houses. The film.
Oh.
Carrie and Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Remember, and she wanted to keep her apartment and he wanted to keep his apartment and they were separate for a little while.
Well, look, with my mum and dad, right, my dad would go to St. Lucia for a few months. Obviously, he went there to sort things out, but he would be there for maybe about four or five months. And on that break, did them the world of good.
I think it's healthy.
See him when he came back. I don't know. I mean,
how long were your parents married?
49 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what my dad and my stepmom do. You know, my dad will go to St. Lucia for 6 months, come back, and within 2 weeks she's wishing he was gone again, you know, and he's wishing he was back there as well. So, you know, but it's good for them, you know, and they've been married 36 years. So yeah,
I think it depends on the person though. If you're clingy and needy,
Then
it's not going to work. But if you're quite an independent person, I think I'd be.
But I think in that age group, you're comfortable, aren't you? Yeah. You're comfortable. You know that's your husband. I know that's my wife. We're good in that respect. Mm-hmm. You go off and do what you need to do. You go off and play your little cricket or run around and do whatever you're doing. I'm going to go with my friends or whatever. You know,
like, I'm happy when. You know, prior to, you know, the pandemic, my partner would go off to, you know, to work and work trips and be away for, you know, a week, 2 weeks. That was like, yes.
Isn't it nice?
Time for myself, soap in the bath.
I feel like that as well. And I'm only 2 years in. It's nice to have a little break. Even when my son goes out for the night, I'm like, yeah, you know, just time for yourself. I think it's healthy. Yeah,
definitely. I love it.
I think that's because we're just already at that time in our lives. We're just you know, we're good with having space.
We're chilled.
Yeah, we're chilled. We don't need to be clingy and,
I'm just not that clingy person. Yeah. I even encourage him to go out.
I remember one time we went out, actually, and I was like, yes, I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to have some popcorn in bed and chill out. And he must have been out for like 2 hours. I heard the door open. I was like, why are you back?
Yeah.
Why are you back?
I've done that before. I thought you were going out. Like, stay out.
Honestly, then it's like, wow. Some women will be like happy. I'm like, no, I just wanted some time for myself. Mm. So yeah.
But when I was in my, when I think about being in my 20s, I was the complete opposite. Don't go out. Oh, why can't we do something together? Now I'm just, yeah, whatever.
Lack of experience, innit?
Yeah.
Maybe you just had a different outlook, ideal of relationships, and maybe you were a bit needy, or maybe you were, I don't know. Maybe that even the relationship, did it make you feel a little bit insecure as well? Because it could be just the relationship itself.
Could have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. If I think about it, could have been, but I just think I'm more laid back now as I'm older.
I think back then we were very laid back. But I think when we were younger, we were all serial ravers. You know, we was at every type of rave there was out there.
Hold on, wait. They still are. Went a lockdown. Nina, Tony, Melissa, even yourself, all of you lot would have been out raving. You lot are hot foot.
Me?
Hold on.
I'm looking at Nina. So, me.
Nina's staying quiet because she knows she'd be out.
Me?
Lockdown finished. So what I'm saying is, Michelle, we're just as hot foot as we was when we were younger. I mean, obviously, I'm a bit less because of my situation.
Just because you can't, yeah. It's not because if I didn't have
my daughter, I would be out. I would be really out, especially now. I'd be out.
You're a bit of a recluse now, aren't you? It's hard, very hard to get you out at the moment.
Yeah. You know, I'd be out. Oh yeah, for sure.
This is really reminiscent. Sure. And you're talking about marriage. I want to be out for sure.
She's really reminiscing about the old days,
right? We would most probably be that progressive, but without staying away for months apart. But we definitely just be getting on with it.
Yeah.
But before the lockdown, you used to like to go out for dinner. You lot would wait together. You lot would do stuff. So it's not like to say you can go out. So even within your relationship, going out is important, as well as
very true. Your friends,
together. Doing fun things, doing different things, but also doing that with your girls and whatever. So you just got to have a balance, isn't it?
Yeah, agreed.
So here's a question for you ladies.
What was that?
Answer this question, but would you ask your partner to sign a prenuptial agreement?
Yes.
Wow, that was yes. There was not even a hesitation. There wasn't even a pause. You were like, yes. Would you?
Okay. Again, I think it's to do with age. So, it's a difficult one actually, because it depends on the person, I guess. But I think because of where I am now and what I've achieved by myself, why am I going to give that up for anybody if it doesn't work out?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'd been in my 20s and we'd grown together and we'd built together, that's completely different. But I feel like I'm in a good position now. And yeah, I think just like the Housewives of Atlanta, I'm not giving that up.
I hear
that. Do you think?
I think I'd be really, really bitter about it if it didn't work out, and I'd be kicking myself. And I've been in that position before, where I've broken up with someone and lost things, and you know, and it's just not. And I'm more angry at losing the things and losing the relationship. I think I'd just be really, bitter about it. So I'd protect myself before.
So do you think that possibly may cause a problem in getting married? Some people find that a bit of an insult, being asked to have a prenuptial.
They may do, but it's quite interesting because usually it's the man, right? I don't know. And to be honest,
sorry, come on, Dean.
They wouldn't find out until they asked me anyway. So,
but then once they asked you, do you think they would possibly then?
Well, then they're not marrying me for love, are they? They're marrying me for what I have. No,
I know. No, but I think some people would just be. They possibly wouldn't even. That might have not been a thought factor for them. But then, now once you brought it to the table, now it's like, well, actually, you know, I wasn't asking for that. So,
if you gave a good enough reason to why you asked for one, because I know someone that did.
I think because as well, it's a lot like it's me working on my business, but also what I have is through my father's inheritance as well. So that is something that's quite Yeah. And I would that would really upset me if it wasn't to work out and I'd have to give that away to somebody else. I think they should understand anything we have built together since we've been together, no problem. But if I have equity in something or something from before that, then I don't think it's fair at this age to give that up to someone if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
See, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's still kind of like a double-edged sword, isn't it? The person can take it as if you think they are, as Tony said, it wouldn't have been a thought. And then you say that, and be like, well, hold on a minute. Like, why?
You don't trust me, or you just think I want you for this, or you don't think it's going to work, or you know, because
yeah, they could say that, but I think it's the smart thing to do.
Because people change as well, you know, like when
they do
in a breakup, you see a different side.
Exactly. So, I've seen it with family members. I've seen it with, you know, money changes people, and it can get nasty. And why not just have that in place so that it's just clean cut? You don't have to go.
I think it's important to note that prenups can be for a period and you can specify the terms, and I guess it's how you drop it, you know. I guess in your case, Nina, you'd be like, everything that I had before you is for my son.
I don't think I'd say I want you to sign a prenup. I'd just be like, you know, this is mine, and like, let's just sort things out so that it's fair. I'd probably say it more like that than you're going to sign a prenup. And yes, everything I do have is EJ's.
But you know what? There's also something really important. something really important that everybody should know. You know, if you are getting married and you are thinking about things like a prenup, and you don't know how to drop it because it's a very delicate and sensitive topic. Let's just say, for example, you want to buy a house together and your money comes from family or wherever, or money that you've built up or has been given to you. If you have it gifted to you in the legal sense for that purchase of the property, if anything does go wrong, they cannot claim whatever that percentage would have been at the time that you purchased the house.
How is it gifted?
You get your solicitors to say your deposit is gifted, so it's come from your parents or whoever. And that's it. So if there is, let's just say your deposit represented 15% of the house value, and then 20 years later, for whatever reason, you're going to split it and go your own ways, it's not going to be 50-50. Yours is going to be 65, or it's going to be 50-50. But then there's also that extra 15% in terms of the raised value.
Right.
So it's a bit of an interesting.
There's other ways
one.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be a tricky one. I mean, we didn't have to worry about anything like that. But that's obviously because it just didn't enter our heads. We know what we're both about.
But you're quite equal, no? I think.
I would say we are, but I would say that my husband is more. He was when I met him, he was more financially stable than I was. Many, many years ago. But I think, you know, like going back to Mel's original point, when someone's got your back and you feel secure, like, I mean, I've dated a few guys in my time and I'd never felt secure with them. I always felt like I was the one who was always financially supporting them, helping them out, even when they earned more than me. And I never felt that with my husband at all, you know. And no, I did not marry him for money. We just got on for, like, I married him for many reasons, you know, first one being love and all of that jazz, you know, and all of that malarkey, as Mel would like to call it, you know. But yeah, no, you know, there are ways to protect yourself. And if the other person, it will be hurtful, but the other person has to know you. And if they know your personality, they should know that something like this, or you're going to try and get your affairs in order.
Would you do a prenup if you knew your partner came in at equal value as you did, as you
know? No. No.
Would you do a prenup when the person isn't as equal value?
I would do a prenup if I was,
doesn't it?
I would do a prenup if I was dating someone who had children elsewhere before I came along. You know, I know that sounds horrible, but I think it's my choice to decide what you and your lot get, or whether I want to give you anything at all. Because, you know, that's just it.
But what if you had your will written before you got married? Does it get superseded?
What do you mean? If you've got a will and then you
get married, does the will that you've written get superseded? If you decided in your will you're going to leave X, Y, Z to so and so, whatever.
And but we're talking about getting divorced when you're alive, not.
No, but you get divorced, but you've already drawn up your, okay, not a will, but you've already got legal papers to say what's happening with your investments and your affairs. Does that get superseded when you get married?
So you mean to your next marriage?
Yeah, into your next marriage. So when you get married, if you
did. I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's a very tricky or a technical one.
I don't think so.
It might be a savvy
way. Why would it?
Not having to have the conversation is what I'm saying.
Well, matrimonial law states that the person gets actually 50%. If you've got children, the remaining 50% gets divided amongst your children. That's if you have no will. I don't know what happens in the case of having a will, moving on, not changing something, remarrying, and there's still a will out there that exists. I have no idea.
I think you'd have to change it. Well, it would have to be, yeah, if it's not in the paper, the document that you had, you'd have to get confirmation on that, Vanessa.
Oh dear.
I'm going to look into it. Thanks, Tony.
Well, you know, this is a pod that we, you know, we're just having a conversation and putting it out there and figuring out things as we go along. We're not.
But we have, Nina and I have a friend who, with his wife, don't get me wrong, he loves her and everything. But he was like, I've had to put a few things in place to make sure she can't get everything. But that wasn't because, you know, I think it's more about somebody who feels like what Nina said, I've worked hard for this before you came along. But then I think if you're going to marry someone, you should have that chat with them. It's worse if you're doing it cloak and dagger. Do you get what I mean? Like, why would you do that? Then what's the point? I know a couple of guys who are like that, and I'm just like, okay, but in my head I'm thinking, wow, you know, everyone's different.
That's so true. I think tonight, ladies, gonna wrap up this session with seeing that marriage has and even relationships do represent like multi-level commitments, some that involves person to person and also family to family relationships, trying to get that even keel of communication and understanding and knowing who you are, to ensure that a marriage can be long lasting if that's something you want, but a relationship also can be long lasting. We've ascertained that you don't necessarily have to be married to have a successful relationship and to achieve things with your partner. And for some, the ideal still stays an ideal of what we would like to embark on if we meet the right person, or even try to make the person, the right person. So we could say marriage is viewed as a relatively permanent bond, I think, but is that necessary? I don't know. I don't think we've really explored it in that in-depth to say whether it's outdated or not. I'm sure people are getting divorced a lot more now because it's just easier and quicker, and society ideals of having to stay in a relationship isn't how it used to be when we were growing up and our parents were married and you had to stay in that. That we've come far as females where, you know, used to be just the housewife. So if you left your husband, what was you going to do? So you had to stay, didn't you? Whereas now we're all independent and working. We don't have to really worry too much financially about what we're going to lose out. And if we're like Nina, you have your prenup ready. Ain't nobody going to be taking your
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation. I found it quite interesting hearing everybody's different perspective and views. I will say goodbye from 40 something. What's our 40 something Insta name, Neen?
40_some_thing.
Please.
I hope.
Please like, share, comment, and
get involved.
Get involved.
Thank you very much for joining.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.